Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have so much to get into today. We're going to talk all football on the show. We're on the eve of the 3A state championship playoffs. First round tomorrow. We get Emory and North Sam Pete. Live coverage will begin here on KOAL at 3:30. Kickoff will follow at 4, so it's an early kickoff tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. But because we have high school football tomorrow, we're going to talk college football today. Big week 9 coming up in the college football season. Love the game, Wisconsin and Ohio State. Thought it'd be a little bit more hyped. Wisconsin kind of screwed that up with a loss to Illinois last week. But still, Ohio State's toughest task up to this point in time. There's no question about it. We get Auburn, LSU, Notre Dame, Michigan, some very big college football games to talk about. And we got to talk about BYU last week knocking off Boise State. What does that do for Kalani Sitake? And then the Utah Utes will take on Cal. On top of everything else, we are approaching the trade deadline of the NFL, and we've already seen a few moves. I want to talk about those moves today and who may be next as far as making a trade. The Atlanta Falcons have added Vic Beasley. I think the Falcons are going to be huge sellers. They've already moved on from Mohamed Sanu, so we'll talk NFL on the show today as well. A couple of news and notes, though, before we take a look at the local sports scene. There's a new manager in San Diego. The Padres have hired Jace Tingler. It's probably a name you're not too familiar with. Right now, he is actually managing in the Dominican Winter League. He was with the Rangers as far as player development and the field coordinator this past season is concerned as well. He's going to replace Andy Green. And earlier today, you probably heard that Joe Girardi got a job as well. Joe Girardi will take on the Philadelphia Phillies spot, which was open after they let go of Gabe Kapler. So now the spots are starting to fall into place. I love the Phillies hire. They got who they needed. I actually like Dave Ross. He's the new manager of the Chicago Cubs as well. Doesn't have any experience. I think that's fine with that front office. And then Tingler, now the head man as far as the San Diego Padres are concerned. Let's take a look at what we have brewing as far as the national sports schedule. We do have more NBA basketball tonight. It's great that NBA's back, isn't it? Last night right here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz pick up a win over the OKC Thunder. Entertaining game through and through. Short slate tonight. We get the Hawks at the Pistons. The Bucks will take on the Rockets. Then we get the Clippers at the Warriors. So like I said, a short slate. Doubleheader on TNT, though, with the Bucks and Rockets. And then the Clippers and the Warriors. And NFL football. It'll make its return to KOAL tonight. 6 o'clock live pregame coverage as the Redskins and the Vikings will go toe-to-toe. Not a real a barn burner, but the Vikings have played good football as of late, and it's kind of a different type of story with the Washington Redskins. So that's a look at what's happening at the national sports front. We got a break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up, and then we'll dive into the high school football scene and continue through college and the NFL right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
We're gearing up for more high school football. Tomorrow afternoon, the Emory Spartans will travel on the road to take on the North Sam Pete Hawks. It's the opening round of the 3A state championship tournament. Live coverage is going to begin at 3:30 p.m. Kickoff will follow shortly after at 4. Now, the Carbon Dinos, unfortunately, their season came to an end when the final RPI rankings were released this past Saturday. Carbon ended the season with a 28-20 loss to the South Sevier Rams. And joining us right now over the phone to talk about last week's loss and also about the 2019 in general, we have head coach Josh Huntsman over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Definitely. Coach, I know as we talk about the state championship playoffs, which will begin this weekend, it's unfortunate that the Carbon Dinos will not be a part of that. But nonetheless, it was a season in which there were a lot of what-ifs. And I think probably the biggest what-if comes back to last week's game against South Sevier. I had talked to you going into that contest. We both kind of deemed it as a must-win. You guys put yourself in a great position to win that game. Really, second-half adjustments allowed you guys to get back within one score.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a fumble right there in the first half on a snap from under center that kind of hurt us. But we felt like going into halftime that we were still in a good position and that we, you know, defensively, we made some adjustments and we knew that we would be able to stop the running game effectively. And you know, if we could put up points, we'd have a chance.
Coach, offensively, in the second half, you guys did have a couple of opportunities, including in the fourth quarter. I thought there was some bad luck involved as well, which, of course, I mean, that's luck is always a part of it in some sense or another. What worked for you guys offensively in this game against the South Sevier defense that has really been somewhat stingy over the past month of the season?
You know, we got back to running the football in the second half a little bit, and our running game was able to set up our passing game, and that really helped us. And so, you know, that was a big emphasis that we were looking at, is trying to get back to you know, fundamentals, back to running the football hard, back to running downhill and those type of things, and we felt like it helped.
You guys did have an opportunity defensively to get one more crack on the offensive side of the ball, and Coach, really a deflected pass that falls right into the hands of a South Sevier receiver, but turned out to be the difference in the contest late in the game. The defense did stiffen up a bit. You guys put them in a third and long situation. They decided to put the ball in the hands of their quarterback. And again, luck worked against the Carbon Dinos on that specific play.
You know, Daniel Vega did a heck of a job. He was there. He did everything he needed to do except catch the ball. And, you know, we couldn't ask him to do anything more. And we were pleased with his effort, pleased with what he did. You know, so happens, dumb luck, he knocks the ball in the air. The kid never even saw it. He turned around to go try to find it, and it lands in his hand. And so, you know, it's just one of those bad breaks that you run into, and you can't put any blame on anyone for it. We did everything right. We were in the position. The only thing that we didn't do was bring down an interception.
And there were a couple of times this year, Coach, where this team had put themselves in position to get a win. If it was on the road against Duchesne, if it was on the road against Emory, if it was on the road against South Sevier, I mean, those are three road games that I could just think off up the very top of my head that you guys put yourself in a position to actually win. And obviously, if you win one of those games, I think it's a different story, and we're talking about a playoff game coming up this weekend. When you go back and you look at the what-ifs, Is it more so this season than maybe previous season, Coach, where you guys were actually there to win these football games?
You know, we had a very talented team this year. And so, and you've heard me say this before, that the potential is interesting, but, you know, performance is everything. And, you know, at certain points in the game, we just got outperformed. And when we got outperformed, we got beat. And so it was definitely a very interesting season. Lots of highs, lots of lows, and you know, it was a roller coaster ride, and our kids made it through it, and they're not worse off for having played football. They're actually a little bit better off than they were when they started this thing, and so hopefully we taught them a few things, and hopefully, you know, they can take their experience and they can grow with that experience.
You and I always talk about progression, Coach, and we can talk about progression in just a moment, but I want to focus on these seniors because you had these kids their entire time at Carbon High School. From an individual standpoint, how much progression did you see from these kids over the past 4 years, just the senior class alone?
From the time they were freshmen, I mean, it's night and day from where they were. You know, they were a mediocre team at best when they were freshmen coming in, and, you know, having them go out the way that they went out, you know, having been in every single football game, you know, up until a certain point, you know, it was fun watching them get better and better, watching them gel with each other. It was fun watching them, them progress. And so, you know, we felt like our own line did a fantastic job. They were, you know, they'd been with each other for 4 years, and they'd played with each other for 4 years, and so they were super comfortable. And, you know, it was fun to watch them grow with each other. You know, our running backs, they'd done a good job for us all 4 years, and watching them grow was fun as well. And, you know, we threw the ball a little bit more this year, and that had a huge impact on how we did things.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, we go back over the course of the season. Of course, the 50-6 win over Judge Memorial was obviously the best outcome that this team had throughout the year. Apparently, it didn't matter to the RPI because Judge Memorial was still ranked higher than Carbon. But nonetheless, even if it is the Judge Memorial game, can you think of a contest this year where you thought your kids played the best game, I guess over the culmination of the 9 games that they played?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I got a lot of coaches who contacted me throughout the season asking for the Duchesne game plan. They wanted to know how we held Duchesne to 11 points. And so that was an impressive game for me. You know, we had a couple of breaks here, a couple of breaks there. We beat that Duchesne team. And, you know, that's good football team. That's a team that has an opportunity to win the 2A state championship this year. And, you know, they got better with what happened with Altamont and, you know, gaining a couple of players that they didn't have on their roster previously. And so, you know, I had a lot of 2A coaches contact me and ask me for that game film and ask me what we were doing defensively to stop their running game and to, you know, confuse Duchesne a little bit. And so, you know, if I go back to it, I feel like Duchesne was our best game that we played.
Yeah, and going back to that game, I remember the conversation that you and I had, really just a couple of untimely penalties altered the outcome of that game, Coach. It very easily could have been a 14-11, 13-11 Carbon victory in that game.
Yeah, and you know, you give up a fourth down play, a fourth and 35, and give up a touchdown, you know, tackle the kid, don't let him get into the end zone, you know, and take the 15-yard pass interference penalty. So it was one of those things that, you know, it just happens. And I felt like our kids played hard. I felt like our kids did what they were supposed to do to put themselves in a position to win. If we get one or two breaks, I think that's a completely different football game.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. And there were a couple of other games like that as well, Coach. You know, you go back to the Emory game, a couple of penalties in that contest really altered the outcome of the game. And they were, I guess you could use the word mental penalties, but at the same time, I mean, it was just untimely. I talk about luck, and I think you have to have luck in order to accumulate a couple of wins, Coach. And it seemed like when it really came down to it, there were just some things that worked against you guys in key situations.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Emory game, we have that fumble inside of our own 15 that they pick up, and they run in for a touchdown. You know, like standing there from where I was at, you know, you couldn't really tell if it was really a fumble or not, but, you know, the official made his call, and he stuck with his call, and that's what it is. And so, you know, you take away a penalty like that, you take away a couple offside penalties that kept your eyes going. You know, there's 3 or 4 games that we win if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot.
No question. No question about it. Coach, I know it's a large senior class, but there still is a lot of talent coming back. What does the future of Carbon High School football look like for you right now as you sit here, you know, a week after the season?
Well, as I look at it, I've got a couple of things pulled up in front of me. We have 27 kids from senior to sophomore. So we're hoping to get a big freshman class come in that could help push our numbers up to 50. You're going to see a lot of sophomore offensive linemen. We lost everyone on the offensive line at the end of this year. So we might have one or two juniors that will play offensive line, but for the most part, it's going to be sophomores. And so we're looking to the future. We're looking to rebuild in 2020, trying to get this put back together and use the talented players that we have and use them the right way.
Coach, if you look even beyond what you have coming into the high school or what you have in the high school going into next season, I know you've always put a big emphasis on making sure that the Mont Harmon and the Helper kids kind of feel what it's like to be a part of the Carbon High School football team. How excited are you for the group that you have coming up at that middle school age?
You know, you're talking with Frankie Tapia. He works pretty closely with the Helper kids. And he feels like there's 7 or 8 helper kids that could really help this football team out. And there's probably 15 or 16 from Mount Hermon that could really help out as well. And so, you know, between them, we could put together a decent freshman sophomore team. You know, we take our 9 sophomores that we have right now, or 9 freshmen we have right now, and play them with those younger kids and do freshman sophomore games. I think that our kids are going to be, you know, it's going to be fun for them. If you look at what our younger kids did this year, our younger kids actually got 3-3. And so, you know, it's one of the better seasons that they've had in quite a while. And they lose one of those games in overtime by 6 points, and then they lose another game by 1 point. And so they're playing with teams, and that's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them develop. It's fun to watch them grow. It'll be interesting watching them play at the varsity level next year.
Coach Josh Huntsman again of the Carbondale football team. I know you've referred to this squad as Team 5, Coach, so we can end with this. When you look back on Team 5, what are you going to remember most?
You know, I'm going to remember their hard work and their dedication to the craft. This group of kids, this group of seniors decided, you know, that they wanted to go out with a bang. And so they started recruiting, they started getting guys out. This is one of the largest classes that we've ever graduated with 18. And I think we started the season with 20 seniors. And so we lost a couple midway through the year. But it was good. It was fun watching them recruit. It was fun watching them get talented kids out to play for us. And, you know, we're hoping that kind of translates into next year as well, to our next senior class. We'll get people out. We've got 9 seniors that will be coming back next year. And we hope that they can start recruiting in the hallways and get a few more kids to come out as well.
Well, Coach, it's been a blast, as always, to talk Carbon High School football with you throughout the entire season. I'm looking forward to more conversations as we gear up for the off-season program. Thank you so much, Coach. Congratulations on completing another season, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
Again, that's Carbon High School football coach Josh Huntsman taking out the time to join us, and we have more football talk coming up. We got a break for just a moment. We'll return. We'll talk some college football, and we'll still talk some NFL in just a few moments. It's Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Shotgun snap to Fields. Play action fake. Throws deep left side for the corner of the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. What a catch by Austin Mack.
When you win by 1 point or 50 points, it's a win. It's kind of like when I make a birdie in golf. You know, most time when I make a birdie, it usually hits off a tree and runs across the green. And I put it in, and I write 3 on my scorecard.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You know it ain't my time to call it a day, but it's about time you remember the name, hey.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're going to talk college football. We typically do this on Fridays, but tomorrow during this time, the Emory Spartans will be taking on the North Stampede Hawks in the opening round of the 3A State Championship Tournament. Live coverage will begin at 3:30. Kickoff will follow at 4 p.m. So we're going to talk college football right now. And of course, to do that, we'll bring in a great friend of mine, Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports. And as we get to week 9 with Antoine being knee deep into college football, it's the best time of the year to get him on. Antoine, thank you so much for the time again today.
It's good to be with you again.
Antoine, we'll dive right into it, because about 5 weeks ago, you and I had one game in particular circled on our calendar, Wisconsin at Ohio State, and we had it circled for multiple reasons. I think you and I shared the same thought that this was one of the better Wisconsin teams that we have seen over the past decade. Ohio State looked fantastic. Justin Fields has looked fantastic, but they haven't really played anyone. This was going to be the Big Ten's time to shine as far as the national headlines are concerned, and then Wisconsin completely screwed that up last week, but we still have 2 ranked teams going at it. Number 13, Wisconsin, at number 3, Ohio State. By far, one of the most interesting games of the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. You're looking at it, like you said, we talked about this for a while now and thought that there's going to be 2 undefeated teams going in, but Illinois had other plans, and it looks like Wisconsin, who was up in that game, they just kind of took their foot off the pedal, gas pedal a little bit, turned the ball over against the Illinois team that can move the ball, and they almost pulled off the upset against Michigan the week before, and then they'll put spring the upset last week against Wisconsin. So, yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of luster off of it. It's still a big game, in a sense, for Big Ten standards, and it's really big for Wisconsin. You look at it because they lose this, then you kind of fall behind in the standings, and you got a Minnesota team, the Golden Gophers there, who could potentially end up in the Big Ten championship when it's all said and done, maybe playing at Ohio State. So it's big for both teams, in particular Wisconsin, even bigger now that they ended up losing that game against Illinois last week.
Now, one of the things that I am really looking forward to in this game, and again, I mentioned Justin Fields, who's just been amazing so far this season, 22 touchdowns, one interception. But in the same token, the Badgers have one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the country. In fact, I believe they are ranked number one, if I'm not mistaken, when you take all the statistical categories. So with that being said, a young quarterback at Ohio State that has had a lot of success, but he hasn't faced anyone quite like this Wisconsin defense just yet. I think that's probably the most interesting aspect of this game.
Yeah, Ohio State's been moving along. A lot of people think they're one of the best teams in the country. You talked about Justin Fields is having a spectacular year, Heisman-worthy invitation so far. But, yeah, they hadn't played anybody. And I'm curious to see how they're going to play against a really rugged defense. And that's what Wisconsin has always been about, really. Just kind of really have their offensively a ground-and-pound game, and they try to play really good defense. But defensively, I think this is the best Wisconsin team I've seen in a really long time. So he's going to definitely have his challenges there. If Ohio State were to just run rep shop over Wisconsin's defense, then you have to really look at them and say, oh, they really are as good as advertised there. So, yeah, I'm definitely curious to see how a young quarterback can handle a defense that's as playing as well as Wisconsin despite the loss last week.
Let's move on and talk about another game. Number two, LSU will take on number nine, Auburn. LSU is going to play host to this contest, 1:30 kickoff here in the Mountain Time Zone. Joe Burrow may, in fact, be the front runner for the Heisman at this particular time. And he said last week that if LSU doesn't play better, they will lose this football game. You talk about a prove-it type contest. Again, Auburn is in that particular position. They can't afford any more losses. Maybe not quite as grim as Wisconsin, but in the same token, you lose two games and you're pretty much out of it. Auburn still has a legitimate chance if they can turn some heads on the road this week against LSU. Excellent matchup here between two teams that really have a lot to prove, because Antoine, even though LSU's been great, I still don't know that they're getting enough pub nationally, that people are really respecting this LSU team. I don't feel that they are.
No, I don't think they are either, just because they need to beat Alabama in order to do it. I think people have seen LSU have great teams in the past, teams that won double-digit seasons. But until they break that losing streak against Alabama, which, crazy enough, it dates back to 2011, the last time they were in the national championship, LSU, then I don't think anybody's really going to take them seriously. They're going to have to go on the road to Tuscaloosa and just conquer Alabama, whether it be with two or not. But I'm sure we'll dive into that more next week there. But yeah, you look at this matchup there with Auburn. Definitely have a really good defensive front, Derrick Brown. We think he's one of the best defensive players in the country, and it could spell a little bit of trouble for Burrow there. So yeah, definitely looking forward to the matchup there. To be completely honest with you.
Antoine Staley, again of Athlon Sports, joining us as we talk about the biggest matchups coming up this weekend in college football. Let's talk Penn State, Michigan State, because speaking of teams that aren't necessarily getting a whole lot of respect, Penn State continues to climb the rankings, but where they sit right now, they're at number six, okay? And I still have question marks about this Penn State team, and I have answered a few of those questions. But still, I think this is a dangerous game for Penn State. I know Michigan State has a problem scoring the football, but at the end of the day, we have seen upsets in consecutive weeks, if it's Georgia or if it's Wisconsin. Penn State seems ripe for this, and I'm going to use really basic logic when I say that this may be a game where an upset kind of rears its ugly head, because Michigan State's coming off of a bye week. And before that, they had an embarrassing loss against Wisconsin. So just looking at the way things have gone this season, Antoine, this would probably be my pick for an upset watch on Saturday.
Yeah, you got a team that's going to East Lansing on the road, Penn State, and yeah, they're coming off a big win against Michigan at home. So yeah, and you're playing against the Michigan State team that's had success in the past. They, I think, plays really good defense. They've had some trouble scoring offensively this year in particular. So yeah, I definitely think this could be one of those cases where, yeah, you could see an upset brewing here. Especially if Penn State doesn't take care of the football. Last week they did a great job getting out early against Michigan. They kind of wasn't able to score the football as much in the second half, but they were able to hold on and get the victory there. Michigan State also has a really good defense under Mark D'Antoni. But, yeah, I definitely think that this could potentially be an upset in the Bruins. But I do like Penn State to come out with the win, but it wouldn't surprise me if it would be a really, really close game.
No, and really, I think if in fact it does boil down and it is a Michigan State upset, the difference for me is going to be the experience at quarterback in this game, because there are two very capable defenses. So really, who's not going to make the big mistakes? Give me the senior quarterback at home. That's why I think that Michigan State comes out on top in this game in an upset.
Yeah, hey, I don't have an issue with that at all, especially considering how the last few weeks have worked in college football, that we've had big upsets. It seems like we're getting into November, we're going to start to see more and more teams get upset, and I think that trend's going to continue there this week probably as well. Maybe not in this game, but I definitely think it's somewhere down the line it will continue.
Let's move over to Notre Dame and Michigan. Number 8 versus number 19. Notre Dame will travel to the Big House. Of course, Notre Dame they can't lose another game if they want to get into the college football playoff. I don't know that they can lose another game if they want to be considered for a New Year's Day 6 bowl, especially with the strength of schedule. But the bigger storyline here is if Michigan was to lose, Jim Harbaugh would drop to 1-13 against top 10 teams at Michigan. 1-13. That speaks volumes to the Harbaugh era at Michigan. And ultimately, Antoine, I think this is a game, one of those games, and you and I have talked about Michigan maybe being a 4-loss regular season team. If they don't get this win against Notre Dame, I'm telling you, what do we call them? The seat? Well, the hot seat's going to get extremely hot. And I'm going to tell you that people around Michigan are going to be talking about a new coach this offseason if Michigan can't get a win this Saturday. I think it's that important.
Yeah, it's already started. The talk has already started. Football Scoops came out with an article this week saying that Jim Harbaugh has been exploring NFL options. Now, he denies that fully and released the email to send out to parents and students saying that he's not pursuing any NFL option and doesn't have an agent. But you look at this game coming. I mean, if he were to lose this game and then you assume he loses against Ohio State, Michigan does, then, yeah, I think it's going to be 8-4 Michigan team. I mean, it's not just going to get it done there. They expect big things. They expect to win Big Ten championships. They expect to compete for national championships, and that's something that they've not done under Jim Harbaugh. And I don't know if he gets fired after this season, but you definitely have to know that he's definitely on the hot seat going into next year. But you already see the talk is already starting, especially with the number of NFL jobs that are expected to be open this upcoming year. You already got the Falcons situation talking about with Dan Quinn. The Redskins already fired Jay Gruden as well. Expect to be a lot more there, and I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is going to get a lot of interest from a lot of different teams this offseason.
Yeah, well, look, we could talk about the coach on the other sideline. Remember when Notre Dame went to the national championship against Alabama, these stories of Brian Kelly maybe taking a job in the NFL started surfacing, and I remember thinking there's no way he's taking this Notre Dame football program to the national championship in his third year at the helm. But then it comes out, like a month later, he took an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles. So the point that I'm trying to make is, where there's smoke, there's fire. And at some point in time, I believe we all can agree, Jim Harbaugh is going to end up in the NFL again at some point in time.
Yeah, I think so. It's just a matter of the situation. If he can find a perfect situation. I just always thought he was a better fit in the NFL than college. Now, not to say that he can't be successful in college. Obviously, he showed that. The stops that he went, whether it be at Stanford, Michigan, he was at San Diego for a little bit as well. He's been successful no matter where he's gone. But I think to have the level of success that he had going to 3 straight NFC championships, and then the only season that he didn't go, this team finished 8-8. I mean, that's not really a bad 4 years there in the NFL. I definitely think that the way that he left the 49ers probably left a bitter taste in his mouth, and I expect him to be on the NFL sideline at some point before he hangs it up. Where that is, I don't know, but he's definitely going to have a lot of options this upcoming season with a lot of coaches, I believe, are going to get let go.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Antoine, let's move to the state of Utah. I want to talk about a team that you and I don't ever spend a whole lot of time talking about, and that's the BYU Cougars. They're going into a bye week, but I'll tell you, for all the talk of Kalani Sitake, you know, losing to Toledo, losing to South Florida, he's had a couple of interesting wins this year. They topped a top 15 squad in Boise State last week. They scored a victory over a ranked USC team at home as well. Has Sitake done enough in your mind to gain at least another year at BYU?
I think so. I think unless they completely just lose the just lose the rest of their games and just kind of crap the bed, as you will. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to get fired at all. I definitely think that he's definitely going to earn another year, and I definitely think that they still have, even though they're at 3-4 right now, they got a chance to get into a bowl game. Where that is, I don't know, but yeah, you look at the rest of their schedule. They started out very tough, but there's definitely some winnable games on there. I know they got Utah State coming up next week, I believe. But yeah, they got. I definitely think the rest of their schedule is very favorable, and I definitely think that I don't see any reason why he should return, especially getting that big win against Boise State. I thought that was huge last week there, and definitely hurt Boise State's quest to get into one of those big time bowl games there.
And we'll end with the Utah Utes. Saturday, they take on Cal. This was a game that, I don't know, a month ago looked like it was going to be really interesting. Cal had picked up a pretty impressive win at the beginning of the season. The Utes were rolling. Both teams now have losses, Utah with one, but Cal 1-3 in Pac-12 play. Should be an easy victory for the Utes on Saturday, but nonetheless, their opponent in Cal is probably one of the most head-scratching teams in the Pac-12. They gave us a glimmer of hope, and since that point, they've lost three games in a row, Antoine. 1-3 in Pac-12 play, 4-3 overall. Should be a hands-down easy win for the Utes, I would assume.
Yeah, I would think so, too. You had Cal losing to Oregon State, to an Oregon State squad at home last week. So, yeah, that was a bit head-scratching there. I definitely think that playing at home, playing against the Cal team is really floundering at the moment. Yeah, I definitely think Utah, this is a game Utah definitely has to take care of business. But hopefully they're not looking ahead. They got a big game against Washington. I know Washington lost to Oregon last week, but the game really couldn't have gone either way. And going up to Seattle is never a tough thing there. So they definitely have to be careful with, one, not looking ahead this week to Washington, and two, getting ready after they, I assume they get the win against Cal, getting ready prepare for that. But yeah, if you're Utah, you definitely, especially in that Pac-12 South, you definitely have to, you can't really afford, the margin for error is really zero at this point, so you really have to go out and win the rest of your games, during the rest of your games on your schedule.
Antoine, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you again for taking out the time. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You find me at Athlon Sports. Also find me at Twitter at Antoine Staley.
Antoine Staley, again, our college football insider, votes for the Heisman every season. Always a pleasure to get you on the show, Antoine. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir.
We'll break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll move over to the NFL preview. Tonight's game, live coverage will begin at 6 p.m. as we talk Redskins and Vikings right after this.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Back to close out this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports. All football talk, and we've been jumping levels. We started with high school, we went to college, and now we are going to talk NFL. Do not forget, coming up 6 o'clock tonight, the Redskins travel on the road to meet the Minnesota Vikings. Ian Eagle and Tony Baselli will bring you the play-by-play call at 6:20 right here on KOAL. But we aren't going to talk a whole lot about that game because, let's be honest, it should be a walk in the park for the Minnesota Vikings. I will bring in Vinny Rondinelli, who joins me each week to talk NFL football, typically on Tuesdays due to an odd schedule. We had to maneuver things around. Vinny, we're talking NFL football on Thursday, the night before we get rolling with Week 8. That's not the big storyline. The big storyline has been the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah, it's been crazy this year. So it's always awesome to talk football with you anytime, anywhere, Jordan. And this one's been a crazy week.
You've
seen. And there's still a lot of talk going on. I still think we're going to see another couple moves.
I agree.
Another couple moves, but from Ramsey to Sanu, does Vic Beasley get moved? There's a lot going on. And a lot of lower-end receivers, I think, are going to get moved.
Well, we start by talking about the Falcons, because you just mentioned Sanu, and also Vic Beasley has been placed on the trade block. Look, if you're Atlanta, tear it down, because you know Dan Quinn's not going to be there next season. I can't believe he's still the head coach following that debacle on Sunday against the Rams. They look terrible. Matt Ryan goes down after taking a shot. And so I look at this Atlanta Falcon team, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this very well may be the worst team in the NFL, seriously.
And we were high on the Falcons. Preseason going into this, we're looking at that roster thinking, hey, this is a team that could take a step right back into this without injuries or whatever. We were pretty high on the Falcons.
We were.
Thinking they were going to be, you know, a 9-10 win football team and give some noise in that division. They're awful.
And this is why I say they may be the worst team in the NFL right now. I know they have more talent than the Miami Dolphins. I get that. I know they have more talent than the Washington Redskins. But when you have the high-dollar contracts that they have...
Oh, yeah.
Look, you have your franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan. You have nothing around him.
Nothing. And they have no cap space.
And you have, arguably, the best wide receiver in the game in Julio Jones, and you're still a 1-6 football team. I will take the situation that the Dolphins and the Redskins are in any day over the situations that the Falcons are in, because I don't see any end... I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now.
And they're over the cap next year.
They are.
They are over the cap. So they got to move contracts just to compete. So you're looking at the same roster. And right now they're 1-6. So, I mean, I think it's pretty much a guarantee Dan Quinn's not going to be there.
Right.
But
he
you're right. That is not a great looking job.
It's not a great situation.
Well, you have to look at that, though. I mean, really, there is some pieces there. So if you're a coach coming in offensively, Freeman can play. Two first round offensive linemen plus Matthews. You have a young offensive line.
You do have 2 second round picks now.
Hooper can play. Julio Jones can play. Ridley can play.
But they're 1-6.
I know it. It's
a weird situation.
It is.
So look at the Sanu trade right off the top of your head. New England calls up, we'll give you a 2 for Sanu.
You have to take it.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, you have to take it. You need the help. Sanu's an older guy. Ridley can play anyways. Julio Jones is incredible. So you're still deep at receiver. And then you look at it from the other side, and, you know, like we talked off the air, Jordan, Belichick sees people different than everybody else.
Yeah, he does.
And he's the greatest football coach in the world. Is a second-round pick too high?
Well...
We talk about, for most people, they're going, I wouldn't give up a 2 for Mohamed Sanu. Well, most people aren't Bill Belichick.
Well, most people aren't Bill Belichick, and let's be real, right now, teams are making moves to get to the next level. Patriots are at the top right now.
They're already there.
They're the defending Super Bowl champs. They haven't lost a game. This gives them a little bit more flexibility. You know he's going to work inside Julian Edelman, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it does make sense from that perspective. If you are a Super Bowl contending team, I say you go for it every damn season.
Oh, yeah. And he's in first place. He's undefeated. With the injury to Mahomes, he's basically got the home field locked up right now. I mean, you can basically say, you can write this in, New England Patriots have home field advantage. Other than an injury to Tom Brady, they're going to be the home field team. And the rich just get richer. You know, he really liked Keneal Harry. We both liked him.
Oh,
we thought
yeah.
it was an excellent
oh, yeah.
pick. He's
yeah,
coming
yeah.
back. They love Jacoby Myers, an undrafted free agent. He's playing. Edelman's Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Dorsett, come off the scrap heap. He's played good.
Yeah, so you don't need Josh Gordon anymore.
You don't need Josh Gordon. And so Sanu is a very versatile player, can play all the three positions at the wideout. Smart, tough guy, the kind of guys Belichick loves.
But what a revolving door for wide receiver in New England. You go back over the last 4 or 5 seasons, Bill Belichick is making preseason moves week 8, week 9, week 10.
And
if it's Michael Floyd, if it's Antonio Brown, if it's Josh Gordon, the list goes on and on. Let's move on to a different trade. The 49ers make a move for Emmanuel Sanders. I think we actually talked about this about 2 weeks ago.
I love this trade.
I do too. I really do. They send a 3 and a 4. I don't think it's too much because, again, right now you are the top team in the NFC. Record-wise, I don't think they're the best team in the NFC, but you're giving Garoppolo another weapon. And, Vinny, one of the problems I have with the San Francisco offense, outside of Kittle, they don't really have anyone else on this team that I fully trust in the open field. I trust Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, you trust Emmanuel Sanders. And you make the move now because at 6-0, pretty much you're getting in the playoffs. Barring a massive meltdown, you're going to be in. So even if it takes him 3 weeks to get totally comfortable... Hey, look, this guy can play. He's played for Gary Kubiak in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So this offense should be nothing new to him at all. He should be able to walk right in and get a refresher. He's already played in this offense before. They have George Kittle. We love Kittle. They run the ball great. And they're getting a bunch of guys back. Not only are the Niners getting, think about this, in the next 3 weeks, they're not only adding Emmanuel Sanders, they're getting Juszczyk back. You're getting Joe Staley back.
Yep.
So this
Mike McGlinchey's coming back.
So you're looking at a team here in 4 weeks. Even if they, let's just say they split the next two, Jordan. They're going to be 8-2.
Yeah.
And then they're at full strength at 8-2.
Right.
And a Sanders has already been there for a month with Garoppolo. This is a very scary football team.
Well, and they give up a 3 and a 4. And as you and I talked about off the cuff, look, these are depth picks, and sometimes I value even 3, 4s, and 5s, sometimes even more than I do 1s. And,
right.
And I know that sounds ludicrous.
It isn't.
But let
on
me
the
explain
top end
this.
Of your roster.
It's not,
yeah.
right? Because these are guys that you're going to get cap-friendly deals, right? They're going to fill in roster spots. It's a 44-man roster on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? So these picks are big. And if you miss on a number one, yeah, we talk about it for years. We talk about, well, what if, right? We don't really ever talk about, look, they landed this guy in the third or fourth round. I mean, those are depth picks.
Those are depth picks.
So crucial. But at the same time, the Niners aren't in a situation where they are lacking in depth.
No, this football team looks great, and they have some chips. What if somebody's calling about Solomon Thomas right now?
Yeah.
The way Bosa and Ford are playing, Armstead,
yeah, they can
Buckner,
accumulate. They can accumulate three or four. Yeah,
we like this football team. I think the one end, you know, that maybe people have a little bit of problem with is the secondary. You know, maybe the back end's not top-notch. Maybe they acquire another guy. You know, we'll see. But I really like this football team, and Shanahan's got a little swag going there, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now. They are feeling good about
themselves.
And
Garoppolo hasn't played great.
No, and if he catches fire, whew.
That team looks great.
That team looks good. So I like that. I love that trade.
Here was the most shocking trade, at least for me. Quandre Diggs gets dealt.
For almost nothing.
Yeah, and it came out of nowhere. And listen, you were just talking a moment ago that Bill Belichick, he sees players different. Well, look who's on the sidelines in Detroit.
And the general manager.
And the general manager as well with Bob Quinn. Yeah. So there's something more here. Diggs wasn't happy. The locker room isn't happy that he's gone. But there's a reason why this trade was executed. We just don't know why.
We don't know why. And we may never will with Matty P and Quinn. Like you said, they're New England guys.
Well, they got a fifth and a seventh, right? Is that what they got?
Yeah, fifth and a seventh.
No, they got a fifth. They traded a seventh. Well,
yeah,
and Diggs.
Diggs and so a seventh. A to get a fifth. Yeah. But again, I think, you know, when you have that, I think they're trying to build that foundation, and I think there's a way they do things. And if you're not going to do it, you're out of there. And I think he's trying to put that there. Detroit's kind of in between. They've won some games. They're close. Are they as good as Green Bay? Yeah, you know, they had Green Bay. They basically had them. The refs kind of hurt their chances.
Yeah.
I don't know if they win that game, but it would have been a lot closer there at the very end. They should have got the ball
Kansas
back.
They had Kansas City beat, too.
They had Kansas City beat. So this Lions team's close. So I think Matty P's telling him, hey, I'm close. I know what I'm doing. If you're not in, you're out. You know, buy in or get out. And
maybe Diggs didn't buy in.
Maybe Diggs didn't buy in, or he was trying to do some scheme fits with Matty P that Diggs didn't fit. So we never know. But New England, you know, that's a New England football team in Detroit. A New England attitude, let's say.
Yeah, it's cut from that cloth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that was interesting. That one was interesting.
All right, last question before we wrap up the show. Who's dealt next, Vic Beasley or Leonard Williams? Because we know the Falcons are sellers. We know this. Like, they already made a trade for, you know, getting rid of Sanu. But the Jets should be sellers as well.
And they're both at the end of their deals. So whoever calls are going to have to, is it a rental or are you going to have a long-term deal?
That's a rental.
It's at this
point, it's a contender.
So then what do you give up for a rental?
Well, it depends. Are you a massive contender? So throw a team out to me.
Buffalo. That's a team I'm interested in. And I'm tell you why, because defensively they're great, but Buffalo's one game behind New England.
Yeah, they are,
and they got a little mojo going. They're winning. They're close. Do they make a trade? And here's one I want to ask you about. What if Buffalo calls Cincinnati and wants AJ Green?
Well, AJ Green should have been moved last year.
Yeah,
Cincinnati's a year behind on the AJ Green deal, right?
But I think Leonard Williams gets moved.
Okay, so if I'm the Bills, we'll just throw this out. I give up a three. It's a rental. I give up a three because I got one loss right now.
Okay, and if you're a younger team with cap space, it's kind of in the mix, making a move. So you're maybe Texans, the Houston Texans. Let's throw that out there.
Texans don't have a lot of draft capital right now.
They don't have a lot of draft capital. Or how about this one? Indianapolis.
If you're Indianapolis, I think you can afford to give up a two or a three. And the reason
and you calling on it, Leonard Williams, you have the money to sign him.
You have the money. That's what I'm saying.
So
they
why not?
Spend, and they drove us nuts in the offseason for not spending. So well, they have the money to do it. Yeah, the next couple of days are going to be very interesting.
Melvin Gordon.
Look, if I'm the Chargers, I deal him for, I think you get a three and a five out of them.
Boom.
Because I think
gone.
That market is set.
Send him.
But then again, here's the nuance to Melvin Gordon. You're going to have to negotiate a contract extension while you're negotiating the trade. Right?
Yeah.
So that matters.
But you have the
too.
Parameter set. You have the
they
parameter
are.
Set, you know, really. What the Chargers offered, he didn't take. Now, has his leverage gone down? Oh, boy.
Yeah,
did his leverage go down?
A lot.
He lost a lot of money. But if you're a team that's close, you think Buffalo maybe calls? Frank Gore's played great, but deep in December, do you want Frank Gore or a younger guy?
No, you want a younger guy.
So maybe that's the call you make.
Trade deadline is Tuesday. We'll be back on Football Tuesday. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great show.
We're going to have a lot to talk about on Tuesday. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I want to thank Coach Josh Huntsman for taking out the time to join us today, and also Antoine Staley as we preview college football. Tomorrow, 3:30, we'll begin the pregame show for Emory High School football as they take on North Stampede. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL. Price.